Friends, let me say just a few words before we partake of the sacrament. I want to refer you to a situation in our Lord's life, and I want to speak primarily, of course, to those of you who are at the table, but I also want to address those of you who are witnessing this wonderful event in the life of God's people. And I'm thinking here about Jesus when he arrived at the grave of his friend. And when he stood there outside that grave, and people, we don't know how many, but we understand there were quite a few, as they watched him, he began weeping. He began weeping. He said, this is in John chapter 11. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And he stood at the grave. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Now, this in particular is what I want to bring to your attention. The response of those who are watching this astonishing scene. "Then said the Jews, 'Behold how he loved him.'" Behold how he loved him. Wouldn't it be a good thing if we could put our own personal pronoun into that exclamation? "Behold how he loved me." Shortly I'll be taking the cover of the bread. It will be handed to you, the cost of your salvation, the broken body, the shed blood. What a glorious blessing, my friends, if we could say, "Behold how he loved me." I want to give you a few reasons or a few features of what makes this so amazing. The amazing love to every believer is sin. First of all, I'm going to mention seven things, but only in a word, not a sermon. I'm not going to elaborate on them, but I would like you to take them with you. His amazing love is seen in his willingness to take your nature to himself. The eternal Son of God took my nature to himself. That is sufficiently wonderful. Sufficiently amazing. But I can't stop there. Because he took my nature to himself. For a reason. He took my nature to himself. So he could take my sin to himself. And I can't stop there. He took my nature to himself. So he could take my sin to himself. So he could be punished in himself instead of me. Behold, my friend, how he loved me. Secondly, his love is amazing in his willingness to pay the ransom for my soul. My soul, my friends, was in prison, and so was yours. In prison to sin and the power of evil. But he paid that ransom that nobody else could pay. A ransom, not merely to save my soul and your soul, but a ransom to liberate us. This is what a ransom does. It frees the prisoner. And now, how free are we as born again Christians? We have been liberated into what the Bible calls the glorious liberty of the children of God. What a liberty. Free to love God. Free to worship God. Free to walk with God. Free to obey God. A glorious liberty. Thirdly, his love is amazing in that he adopted us into the family of God. I once heard a discussion raised the question, what's the difference between domestic adoption and the spiritual adoption of the gospel? And the answer was given was, in domestic adoption, take the best example that you've ever heard or seen or witnessed. But that child is not the child of that family. It's an adopted child. But when you are adopted into the family of God, you have divine genes coursing through your veins. This is how it's put. We are made partakers of the divine nature. We become part of God to the extent that, as we so often read in Romans 8, nothing shall ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Fourthly, his love is amazing in making us his personal friends. Do you think about that, man? That you're a friend of Jesus Christ. And that he is your friend. I think we mentioned yesterday that he's the friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Oh, how inspired the hymn writer must have been when he wrote those words. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend, indeed. Personal friend with the Son of God. Fifthly, his love is amazing in that we are able to fellowship with him. And he, even more amazing, fellowships with us. How incredible is that? Oh, my friends, he's here. If we're sitting at this table by faith, he's here, fellowshipping with us in the gospel, fellowshipping with us in the sacrament. Sixthly, his love is amazing in that he is there when we need him most. We think about Jesus being with us in, if we're honest, a kind of an abstract way. But Jesus really is there. And it becomes excruciatingly important when you need him most. When you're having the dark night of the soul, he's there. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's there. I remember ministering to a mother in a hospital in Glasgow. And she was pregnant with twins. She was in the sixth month of her pregnancy. And hope I never have to be in that situation again. Both babies were dead in their womb. And for some medical reason, they couldn't remove them. And I was asked to go and see her. I've never felt so incompetent in all my life. Words. 2 months, maybe 3, after that, I went to her home to visit her. And I apologized to her. I said, "What do you want to say?" And you know what she said to me? I never thought about it. What I was grateful for, you were there. You were just there. That's what Jesus is. He's there when we need him. And especially when we need him the most. And finally, his love is amazing in the way it prepares us for paradise. The Bible says that the outer man is perishing day by day. But the inner man is being renewed. Renewed, prepared day by day to take up our citizenship in the paradise above. He's preparing. But not only is he preparing us, he's preparing paradise to receive us. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. So it's a two-sided coin. He's preparing us for paradise and he's preparing paradise to receive us. What a wonderful Savior. What amazing love. I remember many years ago listening to a song based on the delay of Jesus coming to the grave of Lazarus. And you know the 3 days he delayed. And a line in the song went something like, "When it's 3 days late, he's still on time. When it's 3 days late, he's still on time." In other words, he's always with his people. Whenever his people need him, he's there with them. And we pray he's here with us this afternoon. While we read in our one.